ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Looking at your finances more closely this tax time? On the ABC Business Daily podcast, we break down the stories shaping employment and the economy. And as the financial year comes to a close, we're breaking down what you need to know in a special tax series. Hear it now. Search ABC Business Daily on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Since the founding of Israel, the US has been one of its staunchest allies. But there's a shift underway in America. In recent weeks, Donald Trump and his deputy, J.D. Vance, have publicly criticised the Israeli leader, Benjamin Netanyahu. And polling shows Americans have increasingly negative views of his government. Today, Guy Ziv, Associate Director of Israel Studies at American University, on what's driving the backlash. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Guy, a few weeks back, there was a major shift in tone when it comes to Israel from the US Vice President J.D. Vance. During a White House briefing, he said that there were not many world leaders who were sympathetic towards Israel at the moment.
Donald J. Trump is the only head of state in the entire world who is sympathetic to the nation of Israel at this moment in time. And he happens to be the head of state of the world superpower.
Tell me about that and what you made of it.
So these are tensions that stem from a combination of factors, including an ill-conceived war that went awry, divergent interests between the U.S. and Israel, and Netanyahu's flawed U.S. strategy. And we normally think of Israel and the United States' interests as aligned, but more often than not, they are. When it comes to fighting Mideast terrorism, preventing Iran from going nuclear, promoting regional economic prosperity, and I can name others as well. But the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding that was reached around the time that Vance made that statement, underscores an area of divergent interest.
If I was in the cabinet of the Israeli government, I might not be attacking the only powerful ally that I have anywhere left in the entire world.
All right, so Vance was expressing a frustration that Israel, wasn't fully on board with this MOU.
That's right.
And that was really the latest sign of tensions between Donald Trump and the Israeli leader, Benjamin Netanyahu, who, as you say, 4 months ago launched this joint bombing campaign against Iran. Trump's language in recent weeks, it's been changing too, hasn't it, when it comes to the Israeli leader? What have we seen?
Yeah, we're seeing that there are now openly tensions between them.
You're effing crazy. That's what US President Donald Trump is alleged to have said to Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu during a heated phone call over Israel's escalating threats and military strikes in Lebanon.
If it weren't for Donald Trump, Israel would have been eviscerated.
Your relationship with Netanyahu's?
It's good, but we have to keep him a little bit sane.
I think that Trump is expressing a frustration he has felt for some time with Netanyahu. And so long as Netanyahu played ball and the interests were more or less aligned, he was willing to kind of keep his thoughts in private conversations he had with Netanyahu. But in recent months, with Trump's decision to end the war, given the politics here and the midterms that are coming up, and Netanyahu's own interest in prolonging the war, now we're seeing these tensions play out in the open.
And those comments from J.D. Vance and from Donald Trump, they're not the only sign of fracturing support in the U.S. for Israel. Because in New York City, we just saw the Democratic House primaries, where three pro-Palestinian candidates got up. Just tell me about that.
Well, we're seeing, and New York is a good example of that, we're seeing a growing segment of the left, people who politicians would call themselves progressives, taking stronger and more strident anti-Israel stances and kind of aligning with the Palestinians. And this began before the Gaza war. We've really begun to see a shift away from Israel, public opinion away from Israel since around 2018. Mm. But this process has really been accelerated in the wake of the Gaza war. And so a lot of the progressive politicians feel more emboldened than they had in the past to stake out kind of more strident positions vis-a-vis Israel.
And these candidates that got up, they were backed by the city mayor, Zoran Mamdani. He's a really harsh critic of Israel.
Now, I want to be very clear. We're talking about a status quo where children are being killed on a daily basis. More than 1,000 Palestinians have been killed by the Israeli military since the so-called ceasefire.
What was their platform? Was it mainly concern over the war in Gaza?
Well, I think he was trying to appeal, and the congressional candidates that Mamdani was backing were trying to appeal to those progressives, mainly younger Democrats, younger educated Democrats, to kind of focus on human rights and other areas of concern to those voters. You know, Mamdani himself is stirring quite a bit of controversy in New York because, as you know, it's home to a very large Jewish community, the largest in the U.S., and many of the Jews, I would say, are split. The community is split between those who are supportive of him and those who are very wary of this trend.
Donald Trump, he says the Democrat winners in New York City are radical socialists.
Well, they're going radical left. They're going really, you know, you talk about the Democrat socialists, it's really communist.
But does their victory equate to a broader turn against Israel among Democrats and their supporters? What are we seeing more broadly?
Well, I mentioned that the kind of public opinion began shifting away from Israel since 2018. And today we're seeing that for the first time, more Americans say they sympathize with the Palestinians than with Israel. Mm. That is a dramatic departure from polling in previous years. And we're really seeing this generational divide here, where most young Democrats and even young Republicans now are viewing Israel unfavorably. Social media is a major factor here because most young people, as you know, get their news and base their news on what they see on their feed. And then the Netanyahu government is another key factor. Some of the kind of anti-Israel pundits have used the comments of far-right members of Netanyahu's coalition, people like Smotrich and Ben-Gvir. These are two kind of very far-right cabinet ministers that tend to make extreme pronouncements. These pundits will use their comments, their statements, as proof that Israel has these genocidal intentions. And never mind that they don't speak for the majority of Israelis or even the coalition they represent, but the damage that these ministers do is enormous when it comes to public opinion.
Yeah.
And another thing to keep in mind is that these younger Americans may have been exposed to different U.S. presidents, but when it comes to Israel, they've really only gotten to know one Israeli prime minister, and that is Benjamin Netanyahu. And they do not identify with the kind of right-wing, nationalistic, and religious policies that the Netanyahu government is pursuing.
Well, Guy, let's turn now to how big an issue Israel and support for the Israeli government will be during the midterms in November for the Democrats and for the Republicans. There is now, as you mentioned, polling shows Republicans too are turning away from Israel. We've even seen some really staunch Republican backers, like the podcaster Tucker Carlson, shift away from Israel, haven't we?
At some point, the United States has to get Bibi under control. Sorry, it's not anti-Semitism. This is a head of state whose decisions are getting Americans killed and affecting the history of the world and the fortunes of, literally the fortunes, but also the future of the United States.
Yeah, so we're seeing this kind of horseshoe theory effect where members of the far right, like Tucker Carlson and some other podcasters and influencers, and then members of the far left. And we talked about Mamdani and some of the progressives, and they have there's obviously some podcasters and influencers on the far left. They're actually saying something very similar, which is that we in the U.S. should stop supporting Israel. We should stop funding Israel. We should end foreign aid to Israel. And we should be supporting the Palestinians rather than Israel.
Big part of the current debate is this question over military aid to Israel, whether or not that should just be provided unconditionally as it is currently. It's billions of dollars in annual funding, isn't it?
It is. So the U.S. provides Israel with $3.3 billion per year, plus $500 million every year for missile defense systems, like the Iron Dome is perhaps the most famous one. But there are others like Arrow 3 and David Sling. What some of these members of Congress are considering doing is targeting the FMF. That's the foreign military financing. That's the $3.3 billion. So that offensive weapons, say the F-35 fighter jets and heavy artillery and other kind of offensive weapons, aren't going to be financed by the taxpayers. There's still bipartisan support for aid to Israel in Congress, but I expect this to change in the next several years unless there's a change in the Israeli government or some other changes taking place on the ground.
Yeah, and the former Chicago mayor, Rahm Emanuel, who used to work with Obama, he's also considering a Democrat campaign for president. He is one of the people calling for an end to this military aid as it stands now.
No more U.S. military as a financial assistance by the taxpayers for Israel. You're a country like all other allies of ours, Japan, South Korea, the Brits, the Germans. The days of taxpayers subsidizing Israel militarily, that's over.
No more. That's a big shift, isn't it? I mean, you would never have heard those words come out of Joe Biden's mouth. His support for Israel was ironclad, he said.
The security of Israel is critical. It'll always make sure that Israel has what it needs to defend itself. This bill.
That's right. But Rahm Emanuel understands that this plays well to parts of the Democratic base today. There is a lot of anger at the Israeli government over the Gaza war, and they want to express that in the form of kind of punitive measures such as conditioning or cutting foreign aid altogether. But we will indeed be hearing more of this kind of rhetoric in the immediate future.
Well, Guy, the US midterm elections will be held in November. We've seen what's happened in New York City, as we discussed earlier. But tell me, how big an issue will the US relationship with Israel be across the country in the lead up to the polls, do you think?
So we saw this in New York, and we're probably going to see this in several other major cities. But I think that foreign policy really only figures into the midterms to the extent that it impacts the day-to-day lives of ordinary Americans. So, you know, keeping the Strait open and the ceasefire intact is politically important for Trump at this point, because what it would mean for voters who are concerned about their gas prices and prices of their household goods. I think that's going to drive the kind of rhetoric more than the specifics of, say, whatever deal emerges or doesn't emerge with Iran in the coming weeks.
And in Israel, I mean, how is this shift being perceived there, do we know?
Well, so Israel has its own elections in the fall, which will probably proceed by a few weeks, our midterm elections in the U.S. And so the calculus there is different. For Israelis, this MOU with Iran was just a surrender to the Iranians. So in the past, Netanyahu, he was hoping to use Trump for his reelection campaign. But these days, Trump is not very popular in Israel. And so the original idea of using him for his election or reelection has now been scrapped by his campaign. As far as the erosion of support for Israel in the U.S., there is a sentiment in Israel that the world doesn't quite get the trauma of October 7th and the idea that Israelis continue to feel vulnerable in the wake of ongoing threats from Hamas in the south and Hezbollah in the north. So there is clearly a disconnect, I would say, between Israelis and how they're viewing the situation and then everybody else, including Americans.
So, Guy, what do you think? Will this be a lasting shift in U.S. support for Israel, or is it just a blip that will correct itself? I mean, Israel remains the most trusted ally of the United States in the Middle East, and there is a big and very strong Israeli lobby in America, isn't there?
Yes, and it's really too early to tell whether this is a long-term shift or not. In the case of the national elections in Israel, I would think that a different government wouldn't necessarily reverse this deeper shift because it is generational and it's tied to the war itself, but it could certainly stop the erosion. And so we will, I think, know much more once the next Israeli government forms and once we have our own midterms here, what the direction is going to look like here in terms of the future of U.S.-Israel relations.
Guy Ziv is an associate professor at American University's Department of Foreign Policy and Global Security and the associate director of Israel Studies. This episode was produced by Sydney Pede and Anna John. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.